The busier and more successful you get, the more opportunities there are for mistakes to happen. As your life changes and you either add kids or they get busier and there's more demands on their time, the demands on your time changes as well. And your business can falter if you're not careful. Having seamless workflows that keep your business organized and you on track is essential if you want to scale, especially if you want to grow a team. Hi, I'm Sue Minsky, and welcome to this week's episode of the Swears and Does Hair podcast, where we are talking about how to have a more seamless client experience by updating and upgrading your workflows. Your workflows can make or break your business depending on how you have them set up. They can either work for you or work against you. So I want to talk to you a little bit about tips that you can use to make sure that everything is flowing seamlessly for both you and your client. A lot of times when people are not getting the number of bookings that they want, they think, oh, it's my price or it's the competition in my market. But often it can come down to the way that you have your booking process set up. There are invisible barriers that are impeding the progress of some brides. And by reviewing your process and updating your workflows to make sure that all of those steps get followed really easily for your bride, you're probably gonna start to convert a lot more bookings. So when numbers are a little bit lower than you want, don't immediately jump to price. Don't immediately jump to Instagram and start posting more content. It doesn't mean that you have to suddenly flood the Facebook groups with a bunch of questions or go hunting down brides who are still looking for vendors inside of different Facebook groups. More often than not, it's something in your process that is holding people back from moving on to the next step. A lot of times it's your workflow. Sometimes it's a piece of your marketing that isn't really speaking to the brides and is not connecting through your workflow. So let's talk a little bit about that today. Thank you so much for joining me. Before we get started, I want to tell you a little story about my business and one of the biggest mistakes that I ever made in it. And one of the most expensive mistakes is I forgot to invoice a bride. Thankfully, she was a bridesmaid from a bride from one of the very first brides that I ever booked. And so I had known this family for many years. I had done two or three different weddings within the group of the bridesmaids and the sisters and all that kind of stuff. So she was really super sweet and she was really honest. And on the wedding day, she was like, "So how do you want me to pay you? A check is cool, right?" And I just kind of stood there for a second like, what? Because my process for years had been that brides had to pay the remaining balance about 2 weeks before the wedding day. That was about 10 days. Sometimes I'd do it at 2 weeks. Sometimes I'd do it at 12 days. But I kind of settled in on the 10-day mark was my sweet spot. And that's when she was supposed to have paid. And it was a really busy wedding season. It was like the end of September or early October. So I know that I was just overwhelmed and really flooded with so many different weddings. And it was before I had put a couple of different boundaries in place with my business about changing timelines last minute and when deadlines were due and things like that. So I had been using HoneyBook for a while, but I didn't use HoneyBook's invoicing system. I was trying to cheat the system and trying to do things really cheap. And instead of invoicing through them and letting them pay with a credit card and paying a bigger percentage, I was invoicing them directly through QuickBooks. So my workflows were set up with HoneyBook, except for the invoicing part. They would get the emails, they would get the contracts, all that kind of stuff. But I had to remember to manually go in and create an invoice for the retainer and then create an invoice for the balance. And obviously when I sent out the contract, I would send out the invoice for the retainer first. She'd pay that. I'd send her an email with the contract. She'd sign it. And then I didn't send out the second invoice for the remaining balance until about 45 to 30 days before the wedding. And when it's really busy in the fall and you're doing like 8 to 10 weddings a month, which is what I used to do at that time, I just completely forgot. Somehow hers got left off the list of the invoices that I sent. So thankfully, like I said, she was really super honest and she was like, so let me pay you the balance. She hadn't even realized that she was supposed to have paid it 2 weeks ago. So I didn't have a system in place for making sure that my invoices always got sent. I didn't have a system in place for making sure that they got paid. It was really on me to make sure that I remembered and that I was like checking off a box somewhere. So it was a really expensive mistake that could have cost me a lot of money. Thankfully, she did end up just writing me a check. I deposited. Thankfully, modern technology, you can just scan it with your phone and immediately deposit in your bank account. So it was nice. But since then, I upgraded within HoneyBook and I make sure that I invoice through HoneyBook as well. Everything is just connected and automated together. So now I don't even have to worry about it. I don't even have to think twice about it. You know, 24 to 48 hours before an event, I can double check and just be like, okay, I know that this one has already come through. But when it's paid inside of HoneyBook, you get an email and it's like a little cha-ching kind of thing. It's really cute. And you know, all right, that one has been paid. So this is just a little example of why it's super important to make sure that when you're doing these kinds of things and with your workflows, that everything works together and flows together really seamlessly. Sometimes when you're using multiple different companies and multiple different apps, if you're not the manual piece going through and connecting all of them, they can kind of slip through the cracks. So if you're somebody who hasn't used a system like HoneyBook before, I highly, highly recommend it. Are you feeling overwhelmed with the daily inbox tasks needed to keep your bridal business running smoothly? Do you struggle to keep all your emails, files, contracts, and invoices organized? And your bride's on a schedule for payments and prep before the wedding day? Do you find it frustrating and time-consuming communicating with your bride's vendors and following up for photos or reviews? If you are, then you need a CRM system, my friend, a client relationship management system. It'll help save you hours of your time and grow your relationships with your brides and her vendors so that you can turn your past brides into the ultimate referral machine. Now, HoneyBook is my preferred system and I've been using it for years. I'm sure you've heard of it by now as it's one of the top CRMs in the bridal industry today. It's the number one system I recommend to all my students inside of Next Level Bridal Business, and I want to share with you my exclusive discount code so that you can save 25% off your first year. Head on over to honeybook.com or use the link in the description for today's episode and enter code SUE 28643. Now, this is valid for new users only. If you already use HoneyBook, and you know it can do so much more for you, but you aren't quite sure how to utilize it properly, hit me up in the DMs and we can set up a coaching session so you can learn to maximize how you put HoneyBook to work for you. Okay, and now back to the episode. Okay, so the first step when it comes to creating a more seamless client experience through better workflows is to map out your entire client experience. What are all of the different steps, all the little pieces to the puzzle that you need to put together in a workflow that makes sense so that you can make sure that they're all connected? I want you to kind of think about what needs to happen. There are standard things that happen with every wedding. You know, the inquiry comes in. Well, what happens after the inquiry? Do you manually have to do the next step? Or can they get an automated email? I know people who will have, after they have inquired, it will reroute them to a separate page and it's a hidden page. It's not something that's available immediately on their website. So people can't like click around and find that page unless they know what the second half of that URL is. They don't know that the page exists. So they submit the inquiry form and then they go to this kind of like hidden page, so to speak. And on that hidden page will be what's often called like a thank you page or a confirmation page. And it will say, you know, thank you for submitting your inquiry. Here's your next steps. Here's what to expect. Sometimes they won't put their pricing on their website and it will be on that thank you or that confirmation page. And that's how people can access it. Other people will have, you know, click here to download the welcome guide. You're going to get one in your email, but while you're waiting for me to check my availability and send that to you, here it is. You can download it and you can look through it right away. So there's a lot of different creative ways that you can create a thank you or a confirmation page and information that you can put on there, letting people know what to expect next, what their next steps are, when they can expect to hear back from you. So that's an option. Or you can just automatically have an email be sent out as soon as an inquiry comes in. It sends an immediate response with that information in there. You can have an autoresponder set up through your email system, like Gmail. It's super easy to put in there. And it says, thank you so much. I've received your request. You can expect to hear back from me in XYZ number of hours, days, whatever. Put your office hours in there. Remind people that if it's a weekend, you're off, you know, giving your full attention to your booked brides and you'll be back with them shortly. You can include a link where people can schedule a consultation. So there's lots of ways to deliver that information, all of those little pieces that they need at the very beginning. You can customize that and make it really personalized to your business and to your dream clientele. What kind of information does your dream bride want immediately? Is she immediately going to be focused on pricing because it's not something that you put on your website? Is she going to be really interested in, okay, what's my next steps? All of those kinds of things. So start to write down and kind of map out this journey for yourself of what your client is going to do for every wedding. They're going to inquire, what do they need next? Once you email them back and you're conversating and you're saying, hey, you know, I am available and blah, blah, blah. What's the next step from there? Do they have frequently asked questions? Can you send them something that says, hey, these are some really commonly asked questions at this stage of the booking process, et cetera, et cetera. So go through that journey, map all of those little details out. What happens next after that? What happens right before you send a contract? What happens immediately after you send them a contract? What details do you need from them in order to write out a contract, to create a proposal, or, you know, an estimate, or whatever you want to call it? Proposal is just the word that kind of just always comes to me because I've used HoneyBook for so long, and that's kind of what they call them. Do you want to use something like HoneyBook, which allows you to create a proposal that gets sent to them, but it's interactive? They're able to go in and choose which packages they want, if you offer packages, or do everything a la carte and just check off how many additional bridesmaids they need, moms, flower girls, all those details. They can put the numbers in there and it gives them a total. It automatically imports everything into a contract. Like, the system makes it super, super easy where the information that you ask on your inquiry form automatically starts to auto-populate this whole proposal, which automatically auto-populates this whole contract. And then it just comes down to a couple of little fine-tuning details. So where do those details need to happen? And what do you need to do to get in touch with the bride to get that information at the right steps? So map out your whole journey and you can figure out which steps need to be automated, which steps need to be done manually. How can you put this together inside of your CRM so that each step connects to each other quickly and efficiently? So that way you're not sitting around waiting on your brides. Your brides are not sitting around waiting on you. Because remember, when they're inquiring, they're excited. They really want to work with you. They're taking time out of their day to reach out to you. We want to capture them at this highest interest level and move them as far through the booking process as quickly as we can while we still have that excitement. We don't want them to go and sit on this for a couple of days or a couple of weeks or a couple of months. Their chances of them, you know, moving on to somebody else or you just not being available anymore is going to be higher the longer it takes them to move through the booking process. Now, obviously, there's things that you can't control. You can't control whether she's emailed 20 other people who do hair or makeup and she's fielding emails back and forth between everybody. But the people who make the process easier for the bride are the ones who are going to see the brides go further in their process. You may not be her final choice and it didn't really have anything to do with your workflow. However, if you were higher on the list and you make the process harder for you and somebody else makes it easier, she's probably going to end up going with somebody who has the easier process. Okay, tip number two, we kind of talked about it already, but what happens for every single wedding? Okay, what is it that needs to be repeated at the same time, regardless of when that wedding is? Like, this is usually like deadlines. When is the last day that they can give you a headcount? Or when is the last day that they can change what time they need to start? They need to be finished. What is the last day they can tell you what time photos are starting? What's the last day that they can add on additional services? Perhaps you have a deadline and you have either team members who are constantly being booked out or a network of additional artists who book their own weddings or book for other companies as well. Everybody is going to have a different deadline for when they're actually available, but you should have a set date in your business that's a deadline for every wedding. Like for me, they couldn't add on any additional services any closer to the wedding date, usually than 4 months before the wedding day, unless we already had an additional artist scheduled. Because trying to find an additional artist because suddenly, you know, Great Aunt Sally and, you know, this bridesmaid and that bridesmaid and now the three flower girls, now everybody wants hair done and we didn't have an additional artist and it's 90 days before the wedding. The chances of me finding an additional artist, no matter how big or how good my network was really, really small. So I always made the deadline be 4 months before the wedding day. We cannot add any additional services unless I already have an additional artist booked for the wedding. And often I would ask them, what's the maximum number of people you think would get hair or makeup or whatever they were booking me for the wedding day? If they had a bridal party of 10 people, I would say, okay, chances are very high after you come in for your trial and everybody sees how amazing you look. And after we go through this whole process and we're working together for a couple of months, you're going to be so excited. That excitement is going to flood to your bridal party and they're all going to be like, damn, I wish I had booked hair and makeup too. Trust me, it happens all the time. Let's schedule an additional artist now when we put this contract together. That's going to allow you a little bit more flexibility. Right now, we have a smaller number, but closer to the wedding day, I'm pretty certain a lot of people are going to add on. 4 months before the wedding day, we're going to need a hard number. And then usually, I almost never had to release the additional artists and be like, actually, they ended up not adding enough people on. I had planted that seed early enough for my brides that they were like, okay, we're going to need an additional artist. We already have one booked. We can add X number of services on. And she was already talking with her bridal party and kind of moving things in that direction anyways. I think maybe once or twice I had to let an artist know at that 4 month mark, like, hey, I'm really sorry. She ended up not adding on enough services. I can handle this whole wedding myself. And it was really like a very minimal kind of thing. Usually, even if it was a smaller amount, I would just say, hey, I'll give you your minimum of your 4 services. And then I took a little bit out of my paycheck if maybe I wasn't doing as many services up. I could have done everything technically on my own. It let us all kind of sleep in. We got things done a little bit faster. The bride had already paid for an additional artist as part of her contract anyway. So it's not like I was losing out that money kind of thing. So to keep the people who worked for me happy, I tried to never release them and really just focus on like, okay, we have this additional artist. Here's how many services we can add on to. And they almost always, always, always added those on. If you have a system like that in place, you can know, okay, up until this date, we can add stuff on. After this date, we can't. So when those dates are approaching, when those deadlines are coming up, or even just like, you know, the final balance is due. Going back to my little story about how I totally fucked things up. You can say, all right, if the due date for the final balance is 2 weeks before the wedding, then I'm going to set an automated trigger that at 30 days before the wedding, the proposal is automatically going to be sent to them. Or they're going to get an email that says, you can pay your balance early by clicking this link and it'll pull up your invoice, but your invoice is due in 2 weeks, whatever it was. You know, you can set it out the 28-day mark if you want to make it easy on yourself. But just be like, hey, this is the date that's due. Every balance is due the same time, 14 days before the wedding. So at 28 days or 38 days or whatever you're going to do, everybody gets the email automatically sent to them. And especially like inside of HoneyBook, you can set up all those triggers saying 28 days before wedding date. And it's a flexible date that's in there based on the wedding date of the client. It's automatically going to send that email out or send that proposal out or whatever to let people know this is due. You can do that with all of the deadlines inside of your business. Headcounts, timelines, balances due. You can set automatic reminders saying, hey, your proposal is expiring in the next 24 hours. Just a quick reminder, once the proposal is expired, prices can change. I book first come, first serve. Whatever you want to say in that kind of little follow-up email to remind people, hey, you haven't signed your proposal yet and paid your balance, all those kinds of things. All different kinds of deadlines. Whatever deadlines you have in your business, you can set an automated reminder. And don't just set one, set a couple of them if they're really important deadlines, especially for things like timelines and headcounts or trial runs. A lot of people that I work with one-on-one with coaching, one of the things that kind of comes up over and over again is people are like, okay, how do I get rides to schedule their trials early enough in advance? I don't want to be trying to fit them in last minute, because if I'm really busy in wedding season, like in the fall or in the spring or whenever you tend to be really busy, you know, they're like, I don't have the time and the flexibility to fit them in last minute because everybody's trying to get it done. How do you get brides to book their trials earlier so that if they have to reschedule or if I have to reschedule last minute, there's still enough time to be able to fit them in and to still do their trial? And so one of my answers always is, well, how often are you emailing them and reminding them to schedule their trial? I always had, you know, the 4 month mark was when they had to have their trial done. I didn't like doing them too close to the wedding day for several different reasons, but a lot of it had to do with my ability to reschedule them around my life and fit them in those kinds of things. Cause I would do trials on Sundays and my Sundays booked really far in advance. And if they needed a Sunday and they were expecting a Sunday and there were no Sundays left because I was trying to have everybody for September, trying to have a trial on a Sunday in August, but all those Sundays in August had been booked since June, it was going to be really, really hard trying to juggle the schedule. And that was just too much stress on me. So at that 4 month mark, they had to have their trial. So guess what? At the 5 month mark, they got an email from me saying, you have 30 days to come in for your trial if you haven't done it already. And a lot of people are like, well, what if they've already done it? Well, then you include language in the email that says, here's your automated reminder that the deadline for your trial is approaching. If you've already scheduled your trial, you can ignore this email. However, if you still need to schedule, here's the booking link. Can't wait to see you. That way people would know, okay, she's not manually typing this in. They're not freaking out and being like, what do you mean? Yeah, I have to schedule a trial. I already have one scheduled with you. I made it very clear. Look, this is an automated email to let you know and make sure that everything is staying on track. Just in case you haven't done this already, here's your little quick reminder. I'm making this easy for me. I'm making this easy for you and making sure that everything stays on track. But I didn't just send one at the 5 month mark. I also sent one at the 6 month mark saying, if you need a Sunday, here is the link to grab one of the remaining Sundays left. If you wait too long, all of these Sundays may be gone. So I recommend scheduling it now. You have 60 days left to come in for your trial. Now, for some people, that's not going to really work for their business. They're going to be like, oh my God, there's no fucking way I'm doing a trial 6 months before a wedding day. She's going to change her mind too many times. Yes, it's becoming more and more common. More and more I see people that are doing this, you know, and I think that it comes down to like the whole Pinterest overwhelm type of thing where they are seeing so many hair and makeup people that are posting reels and carousels and in stories, and they're following these people and they may be inspired by something that you just did on another bride and now suddenly they want it, or they're on Bride Talk, you know, and they're seeing all of these things and they're like trying to get ideas for fun little trendy things that they want to film on their wedding morning, and they're getting themselves really overwhelmed. So if I was still doing weddings today, I would probably shift my process where I allowed it to be a little bit closer. But at the same time, my brides were super, super dialed in. My brides wanted my work. They weren't necessarily the type of client who was looking at all these different kinds of things. When they came in for trials, they were showing me photos of my work. They wanted what I create. And I didn't post super heavy with like all of these different styles. Like everything was really super consistent. So if they said, hey, I saw this updo that you did on this person, I think I want this instead. Unless it was really a drastic change, like if they had wanted a half up and now they want an updo, I was usually like, that's fine. We can go ahead and we can make that tweak on the wedding day. And what I'll do is I'll show up about 30 minutes earlier and we can do that and make sure that we have enough time in case you're like, oh no, I do like what I did at the trial better, or something along those lines. Or if they were like, I changed my mind about what color eyeshadows I want. Instead of cool colors, I want warm colors. Cool, that's fine. We can make that tweak on the wedding day. We often didn't need to do another trial unless, like I said, it was like you're going from half up to an updo. And in which case I was like, that's awesome. I love that, you know, you're changing your mind and that you're saying, no, I want something that feels better for me. And sometimes I would kind of ask a little bit of those leading questions of like, what's bringing this on? Like, did you see something that inspired you, or were you just feeling like you're going to be hot on the wedding day and now you want to do your hair up instead? Sometimes I could take that conversation and kind of shift them. Were they really looking for a hairstyle change? And we could do a change up before the reception, in which case they could purchase an upgraded package. And now that's one, it's more money in my pocket. So I was always happy about that. Or was it they were like, no, I felt like I needed to have my hair one way because that's what my mom was pushing me. And I've really thought about it and I really do actually want my hair all up, or vice versa. Usually it was more of we didn't updo at the trial and they were changing to a half up, or they were changing to like much more like down waves, not the glam waves, because those weren't super trendy when I was really doing hair all the time, but more of like a simpler half up. And they were like, this is just going to feel a lot more like me. I'm going to feel more comfortable. I'm used to having my hair down around my neck all the time, and I'm feeling too open and exposed. So I would ask them, okay, do you have a final dress fitting coming up anytime? Because usually those are done around, you know, 30, 45 days before the wedding. Do you have a final dress fitting? Can we schedule it so that you can have your hair change done before you go for your final dress fitting and you can see how it actually looks together? And then they were like, oh my God, that's a great idea. And so usually if we came in and they did another trial, it was usually alongside that, as long as I can make it work. And sometimes they were like, they loved that idea and they changed their dress fitting appointment because I wasn't available on whatever day they already were scheduled. So that gave us an opportunity to work those kinds of things out. But honestly, I didn't care that they were changing their mind and that they were doing a second trial, because one, I wanted to make sure that they were super happy and really comfortable and really confident with what I did for them. So on the wedding morning, all I had to do was show up and recreate what we'd already agreed upon. There was no second guessing anything in her mind. She could sit back and relax, let me do my thing. I could sit back and relax, do what I know she's already going to be happy with. and it was extra money. I don't understand people who really like, they have problems with trials. Like they get so mad when people want a second trial or another bridal party member or a mom wants a trial or a bride wants a trial before booking. I don't understand why people get so angry about easy money. More work coming for you that you're being paid for. Nobody's asking for this shit for free. You're getting paid and it's work with the same client. You are increasing the lifetime value of that client. You didn't have to work any harder to take a brand new person and bring them into your world, move them through the booking process, and get a signed contract. Here's somebody who already wants to pay you money for what you do. Why don't you want to do it? I don't understand that. I don't understand it. So if you're somebody who does it that way, let me know. Like, send me a DM. Like, really, I want to understand why people have that. The pushback that I've heard people say a lot is, I don't have time for that. That's a time management issue to me then, that you are taking on more work than what you have in your schedule. And maybe if you shifted some things around, you would have less clients and therefore more free time to get even more money from the same number of clients without having to raise your prices at all. So it's an easy balance kind of thing. Take less brides so you have more time so that you can get more from the brides that you already have booked. Like that to me is just, it seems like the easier option than just being like, nope, not gonna do it. You get one shot and you better know what you want. And you better not look at anything else and change your mind. Because like, I don't know, that just doesn't feel very luxury to me. It doesn't feel like it's a very good client experience to me. And then the other part of the conversation is a trial before booking. Just have a deadline. Just be like, yeah, sure, we can do a trial before you send the contract, but it needs to be within the next 7 days. That's it. You can decide whether or not you want to hold the trial or hold the date until the trial, or just let them know, hey, we can put that on the schedule and you can come in and make sure that, yeah, you do actually like me and we are a good fit and I make sure you are a good fit and you ain't crazy, you know, all those little things that kind of really come to light at a trial. And they either move forward with booking and they book you, or they don't, and you don't take it personally. Because if you're feeling like you don't like doing trials beforehand because you feel like you're being interviewed, then you need to just separate your worth as an artist from these people. Some people just really need a little bit more handholding. And, you know, if that's really not your thing, then that's cool. My tone, I'm trying not to be judgy, because I don't think there's anything wrong with you as an artist if you're like, no, this is my policy this is the way that I do things. I'm not being judgy. Okay. I just don't understand why we're not happy about, like, okay, cool. I'll do a trial with somebody and they pay me and they either want to book me for their wedding day or they don't. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe because I've done hair and makeup for so long that I don't take things personally. I don't see a trial as an interview. I see a trial as, can we come to a conclusion, a consensus on what we're going to do for your wedding day? And 99% of the time, the person booked me after the trial. And the 1% of times when people didn't, it was me going, I really fucking hope this person doesn't book me because I don't like them. I'm really not happy. I'm really not comfortable moving forward with them. I'm going to give them their 48 hours to respond. And then I'm going to follow up with them and let them know, like, hey, I don't feel like we're a good fit. But I didn't ever take it personally. I never felt rejected when somebody came in for a trial, didn't really like what I did for them, and then moved on to somebody else. In my mind, it was always, well, their loss. That's okay. I still know my worth. I still know whether people or which people are my people. I knew I was going to be booked. So I didn't take it too personally. So anyways, we'll move on from the whole trial thing. Started to get a little off track there, guys. But really the point of it is having a system in place to get things done when they need to get done. So the last tip that I want to leave you with is really lean into having a system like HoneyBook, a CRM, a client relationship management system. It doesn't have to be HoneyBook, although I love HoneyBook. You hear me talk about it all the time. Go to the link in the description. You can use my referral link and you can save money off. I think it's like 25% or 20% or something along those lines for your first year. And if you are somebody who already uses HoneyBook, but you don't know how to use it fully, my HoneyBook Masters is coming back. It will be re-released sometime in January of 2024. I had it before when they had their legacy files, it was their system and their workflows and everything like that, how they had it for many, many years from when they first started. In 2022, I want to say, they introduced what was called Smart Files. And that was where it became a lot more interactive between the client and the vendor, where you could create these Smart Files that takes the information that the client is inputting and automatically imports and things like that. They could select stuff. Before, it was always just like a brochure that could turn into a proposal, but it still required a lot more manual stuff. There was some kinks and not everything was just working really super smooth and seamlessly. So I put off refilming how to use HoneyBook until now. So now that will be re-released and it will be broken down between the different features, how to utilize their workflows, all of the little tips and tricks inside of HoneyBook that you may be underutilizing. It, for a while, it was definitely my top performing mini course. People absolutely loved it. And it's going to come with a copy of my golden emails templates, which is all of the emails that you can literally copy and paste, put those templates into HoneyBook, attach it to workflows, like literally everything is super broken down for you. So if you're not using a system like HoneyBook, definitely recommend that one. I've heard amazing things about Dubsado. I've heard 17 Hacks. It's been around for many years. And I know there are some people that like it because apparently it's really good for customization. But I don't really hear people talk about that one quite as much. Usually HoneyBook is the number one, Dubsado is number two. The gap between the two of them has gotten a little bit closer in the past few years. And then 17 Hats is kind of like a far distant number three. So lean into that, use that. Once you've mapped out all of these deadlines and when things are going to be due and add in these like reminders and stuff like that, you can really just put together this beautiful workflow from the very first moment that they click your inquiry button that just moves them through the booking process so nicely so that you're not ever showing up on a wedding day and being like, oh, you haven't paid. You don't ever want to feel like that, my friend, trust me. So if you have any questions about HoneyBook, if you have any questions about automations or workflows or things like that, reach out to me, let me know. And then if you want to give me your feedback on trials, I know everybody does it a little bit differently. Some of you may send me a DM and kind of bitch me out and be like, no, trials are for booked brides only and whatever your spicy thoughts on it, I'll listen. I'm cool with that. Like I love having my opinion changed. I don't know, maybe I'm weird like that, but I love hearing other people's viewpoints and be like, actually, this is why I do it this way and XYZ. Like if you can give me support and just be like, this is why I do it this way, totally love it. Love that stuff. I'm never gonna be the kind of coach who's like, my way or the highway, this is the only way to do it. And if you don't do it that way, then you're dumb. Like, no, never gonna be like that. I know the way that things worked for me, for my business and for my clientele, because I really had who my dream bride was dialed in. And sometimes my tone can come across kind of judgy. I promise I'm not. That's just the way I talk. I'm not a judgy person like that. So I promise. I'm just a lot of times, like I'll say, like, I don't understand. I don't understand why you would have a problem with doing something that way. Because in my mind, to me, it seems like, okay, this seems like the path of least resistance. This seems like the most logical way to do things. And I try and look at things from a logical perspective. I try and really remove as much emotion from business decisions as I possibly can. So that way I'm like, okay, I'm looking at this logically. I can view the different options. I can view those different viewpoints and be able to compare them more efficiently, appropriately, effectively. I don't know, because they're not attached to emotion. It's not how I'm feeling about this one option versus this option. I can look at it and be like, okay, this is the merits of this one. This is the merits of this one. Which one am I leaning more towards? Which one has the higher benefits? You know, like a pros and cons kind of list. That's how I kind of look at things. And sometimes I'm like, all I see here is pros. Why aren't people going with all of these pros? And there may just be cons that I'm not looking at. So, you know, feel free to give me your thoughts on anything. And the same thing goes for like any podcast episode that I do. Feel free to give me pushback. I'm never going to be a bitch about it. I might disagree with you, but that's cool. That's what makes me and you. We're two different human beings, two different businesses. You know, we can do things differently and neither one of us is more correct than the other one. And, you know, it doesn't make me more successful or you more successful or whatever. So let me know. And if you're like, maybe you've kind of changed my mind. Maybe you've brought up a viewpoint that I hadn't really considered before. Let me know that too. I love knowing those kinds of things. So that's really going to be it for this week's episode. Thank you so much for joining me. I know that things can get a little bit hectic in the next few weeks as we're getting closer and closer to Christmas. We're like a week away from Christmas. This is ridiculous. Where the fuck did 2023 go? You're feeling some nerves about 2024. You're not alone. It's totally cool. Hit me up in my inbox, DM me, or reach out however you feel most comfortable. Let me know, what can I assist you with? I have a lot of different courses, a lot of different programs and resources already put together to help you with the most common questions that I see. But I'm also available as just a one-on-one coach. We can do a one-time 90-minute strategy session where we take a look at your business and find where the gaps are so we can close those gaps for a more seamless client experience. There may be something that today's conversation kind of brought up for you where you're like, okay, I want to make things a little easier for myself, but I'm not sure where to go from there. Reach out and let me know. I'll either guide you towards one of my resources, a different podcast episode, a blog article maybe that I've written that talks about that, or it might make more sense for us to just hop on a 90-minute strategy session and just really take a deep dive and look at your business and put you together a 90-day action plan for quarter one of 2024. Where are the areas of focus that you should be honing in on so that you're setting yourself up for the most success? So always as well, there is also my engagement season checklist. It doesn't have to be done just around engagement season. So if you're listening to this in like March and you're like, well, I'll wait until November to do that. No, it's pretty much just a checklist of going through the back end of your business and the front facing part of your business, which means like your website and your social media, all of your marketing kind of stuff. Where can you just kind of put in micro efforts, things that'll just take you a few minutes? Where can you kind of maybe freshen up your bio or your highlights, or add new photos, little things like that to your business to make things smoother and easier for you. You don't have to do it all at once. You can have that checklist and be like, okay, by the end of whatever month, 1 month from now, 2 months from now, 3 months from now, I want to have all of these little things checked off. So when you're sitting there at your desk and you're like, I don't know what to do to move the needle forward in my business, pull out the checklist, go through it and just be like, hey, when's the last time that I updated the highlights on my social media? What are the best practices for that? Let me look back through that again and kind of those kinds of things. So you can always consistently be taking small steps towards making your business better for yourself. You don't always need a full blown like 6-week-long course or coaching system or whatever to see big results. If you're just taking small little actions consistently every day to do something and work on your business rather than just sitting there and scrolling through TikTok and Reels for inspiration, you'll see more success than kind of letting yourself get overwhelmed and bogged down. So again, thank you so much for listening to me. I hope you have a wonderful holiday season. Hopefully I'll see you back next week. On next week's episode, I am interviewing Rachel Lusk. She is an amazing makeup artist and she also does hair too. She's out in California and she is coming on the podcast next week. It will be out on Christmas Day. I know, but we're filming everything early, and so all of my podcasts, everything is all filmed a couple of weeks early so that it can go through my editing system and everything can be ready to go and post on the morning that everything launches. So I will be sipping my coffee while you are listening to me and my kids, and we'll be opening up our Christmas presents when that episode releases. But if you can't listen next week, that's totally cool. I'll see you sometime after the new year then, but definitely make sure that you go back and you listen to next week's episode regardless, because I know that the conversation is going to be so, so valuable to you. So I will see you again either next week or next year.